My name is Stephanie Held, and I am the Communications Coordinator for Mary Mother of God Parish.
Okay. What's your occupation?
Communications professional, so that's including writing, design, marketing, all of the above.
Let's go ahead and get started. So how did you get involved with Mary Mother of God?
So I moved to the North Side the summer of 2020, and I'm a practicing Catholic, so I was looking for a local parish, and that's how I found Mary Mother of God. It was close by. One of the churches was walking distance from my house, and I mean, I'm simplifying this story down a bit, but that's kind of what led me to the parish, was just looking for regular mass and finding a church that was close by.
Why was Mary Mother of God created, and what were your thoughts about it?
So the parish was created through the Renew My Church initiative that the Archdiocese of Chicago launched. I was not part of that process at all. I came in after everything had been finalized, but it started with St. Thomas of Canterbury Parish and St. Ida Parish merging and becoming St. Ida and St. Thomas of Canterbury Parish, because both were being administered by the Conventual Franciscans. And then I believe in 2019, St. Gregory the Great was added into the mix. And that's when the entity known as Mary Mother of God Parish got its name and kind of looks like it does now.
Yeah.
I came in as a parishioner after all of that had happened. So it was kind of funny though, because when I moved to the neighborhood, I didn't realize they were all connected. So I had actually gone to Mass at St. Thomas, St. Ida's, and St. Greg's, thinking they were separate, not realizing they were connected until I saw the bulletin and I realized, because they had a picture of each church on the front, and I was like, oh, these are the same. And so as a parishioner, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then it turned out there were all these events and things going on at the other churches. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm interested in that, curious in that. And so in my experience, again, I didn't come in with any of this history. I came in where it was already formed. Like, it was really positive. I liked seeing that there was a lot going on and that each church kind of had its special guiding spirit or charism, if you will, that St. Thomas still had the soup kitchen and the food pantry and was very focused on outreach. St. Gregory the Great was continuing this legacy of sacred art with its, you know, choral masses and its scholars in residence and its art workshops and things like that. And so it was cool to see that each church still had something that made it unique and like functioned together as a whole.
Yeah, so you actually have experience with all three of the parishes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to like go to each of their ceremonies and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Do you think the parishes suffered any sense of identity loss when they were merged?
That's a good question. Talking to old-timers, folks who have been a part of these parishes that are now one for years, I know it wasn't a smooth process. I think everyone was trying to make it work, but you can't please everybody. And from what I can tell, there is a very clear process for what happens when a Catholic parish closes, but not when they merge. And so also there was a little bit of like, what do we do? Like, how do we make this smooth? How do we make sure everyone's feeling heard? And so I know that despite best efforts, it doesn't always, you know, not everyone feels like it went well. And a lot of people were angry and still are. there's people that I don't think will ever truly embrace a new identity. And that's okay. But I feel like the way the Catholic Church in Chicago is going to look going forward is different, and change doesn't have to be bad. And I think that's the attitude we need to have. I do think we need to figure out what our new identity is. I think have done a good job of stabilizing everything over the last couple of years, but I would love to see some, you know, kind of a concerted effort to figure out our parish identity, like some small groups that meet throughout like a whole year where everyone's invited to come and share and talk about what they think is important, what they think we should emphasize, because we can't do everything. And in fact, we do a poorer job of what we're doing if we're doing too many of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's not to say that any ministries need to go or anything like that, but could we be better integrated? Could we be sharing resources better instead of kind of operating in these groups that don't talk to each other, which, you know, people are self-sufficient. They know what they need and they do it year after year, and that's great, but why not invite new groups in? Why not make these collaborative events or collaborative workshops. So
yeah. Okay. In what ways does each church continue its individual history?
So the pastor here who was like kind of overseeing the merger was Father Bob Cook, OFM Conventual, another Conventual Franciscan. He's in Milwaukee now, but his idea and the people that he was talking with, like, I don't want to make it sound like it was just his. This was definitely a team effort, but as pastor, he got the final say. He really wanted this to, I guess the metaphor I would use is, like, St. Ida's is the, like, administrative sacramental head, and you've got St. Greg's, which is, like, the arts and culture arm, and St. Thomas, which is the outreach arm. So very much multiple parts, one body that comes from scripture, and also, I think, allows each church to maintain its own identity and not feel just like a satellite of like St. Ida, because I think that was the big concern for the folks at St. Thomas and the folks at St. Greg's. They're like, well, we're not just like the smaller version of Ida. Like, we have our own history and legacy. And so I think that was the intention, was like, okay, well, if each specializes in this type of ministry, this type of encounter with Christ, then each church can still feel like it is a fully, you know, operational place. So I think that's one way, was just how how was this set up? And I think that's the one way that they were trying to keep each church's legacy and history. And then currently, you know, if you're, you know, mostly worshiping at St. Thomas, like those events that you're used to having, like still happen, like the Rosary Walk. And like, we're coming up in June, there's the Feast of Corpus Christi in St. Thomas. They've traditionally always done a big procession through the neighborhood, and they want to do that again. And so, like, I think that's another way that each church is trying to live out its history and its legacy, is like those things that they used to do, like still doing them, but inviting everyone now to participate.
Okay. Quick side question. Mm-hmm. So when I was researching for this project, I would like search up Mary Mother of God, like Chicago, and nothing would come up. So where does Mary Mother of God operate? Like, does it have its own parish, or is it like in each parish? Like,
mm-hmm.
Does it have its own building, is what I'm trying to get
at? Yeah, good question. So I really think going forward, the Catholic Church in Chicago is going to get away from like our building, our parish, like our community, like all being tied together. I think it's going to start becoming like the Mary Mother of God parish, the congregation, the people who happen to have services at this church or that church. And like, kind of, I think the trend, and I don't think this is a bad thing, is that it is going to be like the people who use buildings rather than like the building is the people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when you look up Mary Mother of God Chicago, what will come up is the parish website, not a specific church building. And I think that's a different, like, that's a shift that a lot of people are going to have to make. But I also think it can be a beautiful thing, the idea that, like, the people and the culture amongst the people is what the parish is, not the building.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe a radical idea. It's new. It's not how things have been, but I think that's where we're going.
Yeah, because I know the merging, like, definitely caused a lot of uproar
mm-hmm.
within parishioners. Has that kind of settled down a bit?
I think so. I think it helps that all three churches are still open, because that is not the case for a lot of merged mm-hmm. parishes. And I'm going to give a lot of credit to the Franciscans for that. I think being run by a religious order instead of, I mean, we're part of the archdiocese, but I think because we're administered by Franciscans who live in community, are used to making decisions in community, but also do have like a clear sense of hierarchy. Like, mm-hmm. the buck does stop with the pastor.
Yeah.
I think overall that's been really positive, and they have been encouraging parishioners to really step into leadership roles and take ownership. Because I think this is a problem across the board with religions. Like, we tend to defer to clergy, but actually, like, the people have have to participate. We are part of this. In the Catholic faith, if you have a mass, like, you can't do that without the people. Like, it is not valid. Nothing happens. There's no sacrament there.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we forget. And so I'm glad that the Franciscans being around are like, oh, like, yeah, a friar can come, but you should be there too. And like, no, if, you know, a staff member is not going to be in charge of this, it should be volunteers. Like, I think I've seen that, and I've seen their response to the parishioner concerns be very community-minded, and I love that. I really admire that, and I think that's what makes for a healthy community, when everyone is encouraged to step up and participate, and then that care and concern is rewarded. Because sometimes people say something, and then it gets brushed off, and then you're like, well, why do I bother? Yeah. Because clearly no one cares. And it's like, actually, like, I think for the most part, the friars are extremely receptive and like having people who are willing to step up and take initiative. And I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Franciscans, is there a pastor that runs each parish, or is it just one pastor that runs all three?
One pastor for all three. Okay. And so, again, that's kind of where maybe my expertise kind of ends. Is like, it's not like Father Alejandro is the pastor of St. Thomas and Ida and Greg's. Like, no, he is the pastor of Mary, Mother of God. But we oversee three campuses.
Okay.
So that's kind of how the organization has been structured.
So they do have their own pastors. It's just overseen.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Mm-mm.
So it's just Father Alejandro for...
Yeah, so we have one clergy team. We have several priests because all the friars live together. And they do different masses. It's good we have a team because we have so many masses going on. And so, yeah, there's not like one point person for each site. And I think that's a good thing because then it would feel very separate. But no, like all of those liturgical decisions come to the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone spends time at each of the buildings.
Okay. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
In what ways is Mary, Mother of God, building a community as a whole?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the big things is that every time there's an event going on, reminding everyone that just because you're normally going to St. Ida's doesn't mean you can't go to this event at St. Thomas. In my role specifically, I try to lead with like the date and time, and location comes later. So like, not to like trick anybody, but the idea of like, oh, well, if you're a regular St. Greg's parishioner and you're interested in this event, but you see immediately that it's at St. Thomas, you're like, ah, that's too far. But if you realize it's at St. Thomas after reading the really cool description, you're like, okay, I still want to go. Like, I think that's some of the ways that we're doing it. I think, you know, inviting people to events at different things, like that personal invitation is really important. And, you know, having regular coffee socials, you know, having, so we just had Holy Week, we had Easter, which is the pinnacle of the Christian calendar, and the, you know, certain masses weren't happening at all three sites. Like, you had to come to one or the other or whatever, and I think that's important, too, because we're not trying to duplicate, we're trying to be cohesive and unified. And so, yes, it's sometimes... that can be frustrating, I'm sure, for people who are used to having it close by, or maybe they take the bus or they walk and it's really hard to get to one of the other places. I don't want to discount that. But I also think it's important, again, to realize that we're one parish. And so, like, the service that you want to attend, just because it's at a different church, doesn't mean it's not for you.
Yeah. So you think there's still sort of a separation between the parishes?
I think so.
Mainly the community?
Yeah, I would like to see more collaboration, especially amongst all the ministry groups. I think that just takes time, but I also think it just takes one person to be like, wait a minute, like, this is the Legion of Mary, and this is, you know, the, what's the other one? The MI, what does that stand for? Milita of the Immaculata, I think. So, like, they're both Marian groups. And it's like, well, what if we, like, came together and did a rosary walk and invited both of our groups? And we did, like, two a year and, like, you know, we collaborated on this. I think those kinds of suggestions are really important. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it we want some of that creativity. We're not saying you can't have both groups. You know, I'm not saying that they're not the same. You have to combine. Like, that's not it. But if there's, you know, a similarity, why not, you know, bring these groups together? And again, instead of having two separate, like, why don't we have two a year and, like, they're for everybody? So that's, like, one very silly example. Maybe silly is not the right word. That's one kind of small example. But I do think it just takes some initiative because people get really comfortable and they're like, well, we've always done it this way. And it's like, okay, well, what if we tried it this other way?
Yeah.
So
sticking with the theme of parishioners,
mm-hmm.
there's clearly parishioners that stick with their church, but do you notice there's some that like switch between?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, I do, personally. Okay. Part of that's because sometimes with my job, I have to be at certain masses. But I've worshipped at all three sites, and it's beautiful. Each one's very different. In fact, I'll be at Thomas this weekend, but I was at Greg's last weekend. Like, that's just, you know, how it goes for me. And I think I've been seeing that as well. Like, we, especially when we have special services for a certain feast day, or maybe the composer in residence composes some like a specific set of music for a mass, I'll see folks who usually are regulars at Ida come over here to Greg's, and that's really cool. And I think making everyone feel comfortable in all of these spaces and making sure each space is welcoming to all the new folks is something we're still working on, and you know, happens over time. And hopefully, I do believe that at the end of the day, everyone has goodwill for everyone else and wants this to work out. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that even despite frustrations, like, that's what we kind of remind ourselves of again and again.
Okay, so you mentioned the ceremonies. Mm-hmm. You've been to all three. In what ways are each mass ceremonies different?
Well, so a Catholic mass follows the same structure wherever you go. That's one of the beautiful things about having a universal church. Like, Catholic lowercase c means universal. Mm-hmm. And so they all follow the same structure, but of course there's a lot of variety in that. Like, do you speak this? Do you sing that? Like, what kind of choir do you have? And so that's what I've noticed is the difference. So like at St. Thomas, I've been to the 11:30 Mass, which is like the English Mass, because there's also a Vietnamese Mass earlier in the morning. And like, at 11:30, it's a smaller choir. It's very much like come an hour before, practice, and then sing at Mass. And then, you know, you hear over at Greg's, they do, like, they have a practice during the week. Like, it's a much, how would I describe it? Like, it's a bit more formal. Like, the music they sing tends to be a bit more traditional. And they don't have the accompaniment. It's like mostly their voices, and they're kind of layering their voices. St. Ida has the big organ and like has a completely different feel. And sometimes there's even like drums and stuff, which is really cool. So each one follows the same format. Like, you would recognize it as a Catholic mass, whichever place you went. But yeah, like there's those subtle differences about like the music that's chosen and the people who come in the choir, and also like who reads and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So what are the parishes currently up to? I know this is a really broad question, but just to kind of let our viewers know like what each parish is up to.
Yeah. So Mary Mother of God Parish, what are we up to? We are coming out of Easter, and we're looking towards summer. And one of the big things that we do every summer is called the Taste of Summer. And it's this big festival that celebrates all the ethnic and national diversity in the parish. I've been told by multiple people that we have the most complex and interesting parish in the Archdiocese. We have folks from all over the world, multiple generations back or recent arrivals, that all call our parish home. And so one of the cool events coming up that I would encourage everyone to come to is they do a big food festival in the parking lot at St. Ida. And what's been nice is that everyone from all three worship sites comes to offer food and have a booth, but also attends and like buys food and is there for the, you know, the performances and hanging out. So that's one thing to look forward to. And then I think the other, so St. Thomas, as again, like a church site, is still operating the food pantry and the soup kitchen. We recently took the pantry back to a parish run operation because it was run by Catholic Charities for a couple of years, but then they decided they weren't going to do that anymore. And so we were like, well, we still think this is important and needs to be in the neighborhood, so we're going to keep that going. So that's been the last couple of months with that transition. We now have Brother Ayub who's running that, and we'll be kind of overseeing that transition from like the separate food pantry, soup kitchens, and now like, okay, like what do these look like if they were more connected and considered like two parts of a whole rather than separate entities. So that's St. Thomas. St. Ida, it's a we're coming up on sacrament season. We've got, you know, all the students who are doing their first reconciliation. We've got students who are doing confirmation. And then also First Communion. I think that's all happening in the next couple of months. So again, like, that's the sacramental head. So those things are happening there. Baptisms are happening. Weddings are happening. And then at St. Greg's, it's a lot of what's happening is through St. Gregory's Hall, which is the cultural center that's like based at the parish, but also has an audience outside of the parish. And so they've got events coming up, multiple classes being offered by the scholars in residence. There'll be a couple more choral masses from our composer in residence. And then our artist in residence continues to offer workshops. The next one's going to be a portrait workshop, which will be really cool.
Nice.
And those are open to anyone in the community. And so I think each worship site has a lot going on and has its own identity, but we are, you know, one parish, and I like to see that over time we are, like, kind of coming to that.
Yeah, it seems like these events kind of, like, are overlapping, mm-hmm. kind of creating, like, weaving a community.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite event?
Ooh, okay. I had a really good time at Taste of Summer last year. That was the first time I'd been. The food is incredible. But I also really like what we're doing with sacred music over here at St. Greg's. I feel like I've been learning a lot about, like, our traditions and, like, you know, when Kevin, who's our composer in residence, you know, puts out what he's going to do for the liturgy, it's not just some of his original stuff. He's also pulling from other composers from across time and space. And so that's been really interesting to learn about some of these special feast days and why we emphasize them. And so it's not that, you know, Sunday Mass is like just regular Mass. Like, it's still really cool and important, but it's been interesting to see these feast days and, like, why we emphasize these days in the calendar. What do they remind us of? What are they calling us to do? So that's been really cool. And I think, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. But I think, like, on the horizon, the thing I'm looking forward to the most is probably Taste of Summer.
And are these events open to the public?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. So highly encourage.
For the regular mm-hmm. parishioners?
Yeah. Okay. Everyone is always welcome. Especially, like, Taste of Summer is outside. It's a summer festival. Like, we hope that everyone walking by stops in just to see what it's like and dances a little bit, eats some food. Because we also firmly believe that as Christians, like, we're part of a larger community. We are not isolationists. We don't just turn inward. We're always looking outward. And so we would hope that everyone feels like they can participate in these things. Yeah.
Taste of Summer sounds like a really big play on Taste of Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like also bringing in Chicago, like, mm-hmm. events and culture. Okay, nice. Lastly,
yeah.
What is your ideal event, like your dream event that a parish could have?
Ooh, okay. So I have heard about this, but I have not attended, and I don't know if we're doing it again, but I would love to see it come back, is they had a parish fashion show.
Oh, wow.
And so that included everyone from all over wearing, like, traditional dress or, like, folk costumes from their different backgrounds. But then the part that I really wanted to see was that the clergy would wear the vestments and do, like, a whole section where it's just, like, the vestments that they wear. They have, you know, there's different colors that we emphasize throughout the year. There's specific garb that's worn for specific feasts. I would just really like to see that because there's, again, we're three parishes that have now become one. So there was a set of these robes at every church. And I'm like, I want to see them. Bring them out of the closet. So I think that would be really cool. And I think not only would that just be interesting and a great way to involve parishioners, but I think that there, again, there's this art and culture element that other people would find very interesting, and not just, again, for us, but for a larger community. Like, I would love to know what, you know, fashion students or art students think about, like, these, you know, the embroidery and the fabrics that are used, and, like, I would love to, you know, hear what parishioners have to say about, like, the costumes that they're wearing or the clothes that they've chosen to represent, like, their hometown or, you know, the language they speak. So I think there's a lot of potential there, but I also know that in the past it's been a ton of work to organize. So I'm like, okay, how could we do this in a way that, you know, is fun and respectful, but also, like, isn't just poor, you know? I think it was Survey who would always organize it, and I think he's like, I can't do it by myself anymore. So I was like, okay, like, how could we make this more of a team effort?
Yeah, and I know, like, each of the robes represents, like, a certain season.
Right? Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I think the one that sticks out to me the most is, like, the royal purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I would love to see something like that.
Right?
Just, like, know sort of, like, the history about each color and, like, the embroidery. Like, that'd be so much fun.
Exactly. Have, like, an MC who can kind of explain what people are seeing as they come out. And, yeah, I mean, for instance, during Advent, specifically the third week, they wear pink. And that's, like, the only time of year, I think, besides maybe, like, one other, that they wear that particular pink or rose, as I've been corrected. And I'm like, okay. So I think that would be really interesting to see them, but then have someone who's there to explain, like, oh, this is worn at these times, and this is why. You know, it could be brief, but I think the thing I try to do in my role at the parish, whether, you know, it's as layperson or staff member, is I try to take every opportunity as a learning and teaching opportunity. I don't want to assume people know what I'm saying, and I also want to ask questions if I'm confused or would just like to know more. And so I think any event that we do at the parish, like, that's how we should approach it. It's like we are always learning and sharing, and so we're always trying to, you know, remember our history and explain it to new people, but then it's also like, maybe I need to learn more too. So
yeah, well, overall, from what I've seen, I did a little bit of stalking on the Mary Mother of God Facebook page. It seems like it's done a great job at uniting all three parishes. I'm excited to see what else. What more of, like, more events? Mm-hmm. I've heard about the pancake breakfast.
Yeah, the Knights put that on. Yeah, there's always so much going on at this parish, and that's the beautiful thing. Like, the cliche words are diverse and vibrant, and so I struggle to find other words because all of that is true. But I do think that, like, there's a lot of energy at this parish, and now that there's that stability and that kind of regularity, it's like, all right, now how do we channel that in ways that, like, really keeps us growing? So that's what we have to look forward to. I think it's a beautiful opportunity rather than a challenge. I think it is something that's good.